Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Students with needs in our schools. We have students who don't have enough to eat. We have students who need eyeglasses, and yes, there are programs, but it takes a long time to get there to the point where they can have eyeglasses. We have students who desperately want to go on field trips with their classmates, and they can't afford it.
This is Linda Sanborn, a school board member in Santa Rosa County, giving a presentation to the Milton City Council meeting about a plan that she wants to do that has to do with helping kids who have needs. And she told this very compelling and painful, of course, story about a kid who showed up to school one time in, well, here, this is how she told it.
A couple years ago, I was visiting East Milton Elementary School, one of my schools in the District 1. It was right before school started. It was August. It was hot. There was a young man who came in. He was a pretty big boy. I would say he was a fifth grader. But what struck me was that he was wearing what were clearly his father's fishing boots, black rubber up to his knee, past his knee. Every step he took, you could see those boots flopping. Now, I realized he's not here in those fishing boots. This was for teacher orientation or meet the teachers. He's not here in those shoes because he's getting ready to go fishing. And he's not here in those rubber boots because he's proud of them. I'm sure you can figure out why he was wearing those.
And just, you know, across the board, you hear stories like this, right?
We have students who come in on the coldest of days, no sweater, no jacket. And I remember saying to one of my students, not my children, where's your sweater? Ms. Sanborn, I don't have a sweater. Now, tell me, what happens in those cases? In the vast majority of those cases, our teachers, our staff, take money out of their own pockets to pay for the field trip, buy the shoes, buy the sweaters, and that kind of thing.
And so, of course, they fund it themselves. And she's thinking to herself, you know what? Maybe we can do a little bit better than that. So she has this idea, this plan that she was explaining to the city of Milton before she explained it to the school board on Thursday.
So I have begun a program that I have named DUO. D-U-O. DUO stands for Do Unto Others. And I need to say, right now I'm saying I, because I have begun the program, but I hope it's soon going to be we, because on Thursday night at the school board meeting, I'm going to present the program and I'm going to ask my fellow board members to join me in this initiative.
So she pitched it to the school board. I went to look late yesterday to see, you know, if the school board, their meetings posting are way behind. So I did not see whether they said yes or not. I assume they did, because she talked about how, like, everybody seemed to be on board. She can't talk to school board members, but, you know, the superintendent, the attorney, everybody else seems to be on board with this. And her goal is?
My goal is to raise $38,000 by the time school starts. You want to know why $38,000? Because we have 38 schools. And I want to be able to give to each principal a prepaid Visa card so that when that child comes in rubber boots, he can say to his guidance counselor or staff member, here, take the DUO card and go buy shoes for that young man.
And the idea of this is instead of having to come to the school board and wait for a cycle of meetings and get an approval and a purchase order and all that, just give them the card and then they can go take care of these needs when they come up. So it's already like sort of, you know, pre-approved, and then they just submit to the school board an accountability list of what they actually spent the money on, and the school board will be like, yeah, that's a good job. You should have done that, right?
There will certainly be accountability for the money spent, but there will not be pre-purchase paperwork. You don't have to fill out the form in triplicate to get a request that has to be approved at the next school board meeting that is a month away before we can help the child. No, you've got your duo card. You go do unto others for that child.
Man, I love where her heart is at on this. I love the idea of it. And the fact that she said they already had $5,500, you know, already, I'm sure they are going to well exceed the $38,000 for this. And I guess there was some kind of similar project in Escambia. It kind of came up briefly in the meeting. But how did the city of Milton City Council react to this? I'll tell you that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
You're crying. So I love her heart too. So we take a look at our roads. Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. Certainly watch for your usual areas of congestions, school drop-offs, Oriole Beach, Windhaven, just a little bit later, although it's clear now. East Bay Boulevard at Navarre is closed. South of Coppell as part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to Linda Sanborn at the, she's a school board member, but she was pitching this idea of $1,000 per school in Santa Rosa County to help out for immediate and urgent, you know, basic life necessity needs for kids who can't afford it. And, you know, she was going to give this to the school board on Thursday, but she was talking to the Milton Executive Committee prior to that. And how did they react? Now, I get on the Milton City Council a lot for the dumb things that they do. I should say, it's not all of them, right? It's just a few people here and there that do outrageous things. But it just sort of all seems to happen a lot in that meeting. There's a lot of it in that meeting. And, of course, yeah, I'm sure several of those city council members are like, oh, my God, what did we do to deserve this? The normal one, so to speak, right? But so I get on them a lot for the chaos and the crazy and the Mexican soap opera of it all. But when something like this comes along, you say, what's the reaction? The reaction is 100% positive.
I'd like to make a motion that the council, if we can, ask Randy Jorgensen.
This is Jeff Snow.
$500 per school in our city.
I'll second that.
$2,500.
I think that was Matt Jarrett.
Are we able to do that?
Why don't we put this before the committee so that we can find out what we can budget.
Matt Jarrett is a voice I don't know as well because he's never at the meetings, right? He only comes to the minimum required number of meetings to not, you know, immediately forfeit his seat. But I think that was Matt Jarrett who chimed in with the Me Too second. And then, of course, you know, Heather Lindsay talks a little bit about, you know, where this would go and what she'd like to add on to what Linda Sanborn's pitching.
And please understand, every penny of this will go for the needs of students.
Yes, ma'am. We believe it will. And it's my hope that the budget will allow the city council to support all five of the schools to $1,000.
Yep.
That's my hope.
And I think that was Mike Cusack.
I agree there.
That was that yep in addition. I don't quite have their voices all memorized yet. I'm getting close. But I think that's who that was. So that's everybody's in. And that was, you know, like, come to the city of Milton. Milton's got five schools. Here's, you know, $5,000 is what she's hoping to be able to do. But do it through this process. And there's no urgency on the timeline here because she wants to roll this out for next school year. So come fall. Right. But she's just getting ahead of the curve a little bit and pitching it. And so I love the idea. I mean, it's a beautiful response to an ugly truth about our kids. And I love that. 618 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. When you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get a good real estate agent. Who do you want? Well, you want somebody who gets the job done, who knows how to do it effectively to get you the best price. And if hurdles come up, they can overcome, surmount those hurdles. That's Christina Leavenworth. How do you know? More than 200 homes sold last year, already more than like 70 or 80 sold this year so far already. It's crazy. Like as of April 1st, she had 36 sold and 29 under contract, right? So it's a lot. And part of the reason I talk about her is the selling side, right? She's great at getting, you know, quick offers, a day or two. It's very common. Even above list price is also very common, even in this market. You know, before it was guaranteed. Like now it's just normal. But also on the buying side. You might think of her only as a selling agent because that's what I talk about a lot. But on the buying side, who better to help you purchase a home than somebody who knows what the buyers are looking for? what they want, what will turn them off, what kind of offers they're going to get from other people, what, you know, knowing the market very well. So you can say, well, here's what the offers are going to come in at. And if you want to win, here's the one you got to offer. Like all that kind of stuff. She knows cold because of all of the deals that she is doing all the time. So if you want to get a house sold or purchased, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Let's be honest, nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes for us? In Escambia County, they do. The millions who visit here spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay lower the tax burden for locals. Visitor spending supports over 22,000 jobs, providing $638 million in local wages. Sure, being a tourism destination means we might have to wait a little longer for a restaurant table or park a little farther to get to our favorite shops. But it's a small price to pay when you consider the contributions those temporary visitors make to our permanent slice of paradise. So keep on welcoming visitors with our famous Southern hospitality and invite your friends and family to visit, because tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
Join Escambia County tomorrow morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their upcoming career fair at the Pensacola Bay Center. There are several career opportunities available within the Escambia County government. If you or someone you know is looking for a career, then tune in tomorrow morning at 10:30 to learn more about the Escambia County Career Fair.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of southern sides. Every Tuesday is two times Tuesday. Buy the six-piece shrimp dinner and get six more shrimp for free every Tuesday. Wednesday is lunch special day. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where southern and seafood meet.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Psst. What does a yellow light mean? Slow down. Okay. What? A yellow light mean? Slow down. Okay.
People try to put us to dance. All right, I'm gonna do my little quick test here. Candy, did you watch Taxi?
I did watch Taxi.
Oh my
that
God.
Was Jim. That was so funny.
Oh,
God,
my God.
That.
And that scene goes on and on. With
I know.
It, and it's the funniest thing ever. You know why I remember that? I'm watching this Jeopardy Masters tournament they've got on at night with all the champions.
Oh, sure. Ken Jennings.
Yeah, and they had a Jason Alexander category. And Jason Alexander was the one who said, who was in the famous yellow light scene in Taxi. And he's like, trust me, if you don't remember it, Google it. Well, I immediately, because I had, of course, grown up on Taxi, and I'm like, oh, we're using this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my question is, David.
Who is way too young.
Who's way too young to know this. David, did you watch Taxi ever growing up?
No.
Have you heard of the TV show Taxi with Christopher Lloyd and Judd Hirsch and
Andy Kaufman?
Andy Kaufman. Very good. Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Just I'm trying to find out how close we are. And the answer is, not as close as I thought. So,
fair
enough. David's got our headlines, though. David.
What are the news headlines? Here they are.
Nice.
The Roman Catholic Diocese of Oakland, California, now filing for bankruptcy, and this comes as they're facing 330 lawsuits alleging child sex abuse. Bishop Michael Barber says he felt like Monday's filing was the best way for their church to reorganize and ensure a fair and equitable outcome for the survivors. Federal regulators say efforts to decommission Three Mile Island's Unit 2 reactor now moving into a new phase. The Pennsylvania power plant was the site of the most serious nuclear accident in America in when it experienced a partial meltdown in 1979. The new phase will see crews begin to remove core debris from the reactor. That's expected to take 6 years. It'll take another eight to completely dismantle the structure. And Andrew, how do you feel about Vin Diesel?
I'll answer that. I like
prefer unleaded.
Are you a fan?
Dude.
Sorry. No, I like the Fast and the Furious movies are fantastic.
All right. Well,
outside of the Fast and the Furious, Vin Diesel has been an actor.
Whatever, right. Dude. He was cool in Boiler Room.
Well, this might be...
Oh, no, Boiler Room was fantastic, but not because of him. But no, you're right. Boiler Room was a good get. Go ahead, David.
This might be the side hustle for you, Andrew.
Oh, all right.
A finance company now looking for somebody to binge watch all of the Fast and Furious movies for $1,000, and all they have to do is take notes about every car crash in every one of the movies.
Yeah, there's nothing like an assignment to ruin your pleasure.
That's absolutely
but I
true.
Feel like any one of my boys could make $1,000 there pretty easily because they love the Fast and Furious movies, and I do too. David, thanks so much for the update. What was the one where he plays the blind guy on the foreign planet?
Riddick.
Yeah,
Chronicles of Riddick. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, dude. Don't you think I have a life? Just kidding. No, I hear you. I know, no, he just looks like a big walking muscle that can't act, but he is not bad.
Oh, no, I agree.
Yeah, he's great.
I just, that's by far the best thing. And
yeah.
I will agree with you that Boiler Room is a
fantastic
movie.
Boiler Room was fantastic,
movie,
but you're right. He didn't add much to it.
There you go. 626, back to you for traffic on the Fives.
Oh. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre closed just south the Copple Drive. They're doing the drainage improvement project, of course. And we're not showing any slowdowns right now. Certainly caution, as you know, but 29 running clear and accident-free. And if you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable at 626.
So one of the things that has come out in the last day is we have a proposal from President Biden that would change the way airlines are required to compensate you in case they delay you, boot you, whatever, particularly when it's like they could have avoided it. You know, like if it's a hurricane, you know, maybe they couldn't have avoided it, you know, but or if it's a strike or, you know, some things are out of their control. But when it is in their control to some degree, what should they be obligated to do? And so here's what he said yesterday.
But I know how frustrated many of you are with the service you get from your U.S. airlines, especially after you, the American taxpayer, stepped up in 2020, the last administration, in the early days of the pandemic to provide nearly $50 billion in assistance to keep the airline industry and its employees afloat. I get it. That's why our top priority has been to get American air travelers a better deal.
And the better deal he proposes is new regulations requiring airlines to pay you if they boot you, like to actually compensate you sort of a we're sorry fee. Cover your meals and hotels if you're stranded for reasons within theirs, including rebooking on another flight, expenses that might be incurred. You know, waiving cancellation fees and all that is sort of obvious. But here's what's kind of interesting. There's a website out there. I had not heard of it. I don't fly enough for this to be kind of in my wheelhouse or whatever. But there is a website out there run by the Department of Transportation. And it's transportation.gov, but there's a slash to it. I'm so sorry. I had looked it up, and then it was a redirect URL. I cannot tell you the URL right offhand, but it's a very easy one to use that tells you exactly what's going on with, you know, compensation and refunds and everything like that. And I'm actually looking at this website now, and it's got a very good checklist, basically grid, that says, for example, on family seating, it guarantees adjacent seats for children 3 and under, and then it goes Alaska, Allegiant, American, Delta, Frontier, it's yes or no. And commitments for controlled cancellations, it'll rebook you on the same at no additional, everybody's like this. Rebook on a partner airline, most are in this. And it's just, across the board, it tells you exactly what the refund cancellation compensation is. Cash compensation when a cancellation results in you waiting for 3 hours or more from the scheduled departure time. Nobody does this, and that's one of the things he's proposing. And then, you know, frequent flyer miles when cancellation results in pass it. Nobody does this except for Alaska. So it's a very useful website, again, a Department of Transportation website that shows all of this, and you can compare and shop. And that's kind of my answer, is I don't love the government saying, we think this is what private companies ought to do in order to entice customers to use their service. Because that's what this is, right? It's a what's fair in the marketplace, because if this is something, this is going to cost, obviously somebody has to pay, and the airline doesn't wave their magic wand and just, you know, give you Inventabucks, right? They have to pass that cost along, so this means that prices go up. It's kind of like an insurance policy that you're purchasing, and different airlines have different insurance policies or none at all. And so he's saying he wants to mandate it by the government, which will, of course, cost money. And so everybody's going to pay for something that some people benefit from. The alternative is the current system. And I don't love the government coming into a market and saying, you know, we think your customers will benefit from this, therefore you're going to have to pay to provide it for them. But I'll tell you, to me, the more sinister part of his comment was the justification here is, you remember in COVID, we helped out these companies, therefore they're obligated to run things the way we think they ought to be run. By which measure almost any company in America. It's the old, you know, you took our money, now you got to do things our way, which is also a very much of a Democrat orientation towards how businesses ought to be run. So in principle, yes. By this mechanism, I'd say no.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Jurors in New York City today start deliberating the battery and defamation civil case against former President Trump. E. Jean Carroll accuses him of raping her and lying about it.
Attorneys for E. Jean Carroll said in closing arguments, former President Trump himself once stated, when you're famous, you can grab women. They highlighted testimony from two other women who said at trial, Trump assaulted them as well. Trump's attorney said Carroll didn't call for help or call the cops. He argued the author and former advice columnist filed a false claim as a political tool to help boost book sales.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. The Israeli military has launched airstrikes in Gaza.
Among the dead are three leaders with the Islamic Jihad group, their wives, several of their children, and others nearby. Airstrikes hit the top floor of an apartment building in the densely populated Gaza City and a house in the southern town of Rafah.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Stock futures are lower ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Cloudy 72 right now in Pensacola. Yesterday, we learned more about that fatal officer-involved shooting on Helton Lane where deputies shot and killed 53-year-old Ronnie Clark. We're now learning that Clark has an extensive criminal history.
It's shocking to me that you can have somebody who engages in this kind of behavior. And he's just all he knows how to do is commit crime. His sole contribution to society has been the commission of crimes.
That is Deputy Assistant State Attorney John Mulchin. And Channel 3 reporting Clark had served 18 years in prison, had 58 prior convictions, although prior to the events that unfolded over the weekend, he didn't have any serious violent offenses in his rap sheet. Deputies say they were involved in a five-hour standoff with Clark, who took a hostage, held her in a tent, then held a knife to her throat and tried to escape in a vehicle. A deputy fired a single shot, hitting and killing Clark, possibly also hitting the hostage as well. She's now recovering in a local hospital. One person was taken to the hospital yesterday after they were stabbed in the stomach near West Scott and Northeast Street last night. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office telling Channel 3 the victim's injuries appear to be non-life-threatening. Escambia County in line to receive $1 million in state funding to build a new regional fire training facility, so long as the line item doesn't get vetoed by Governor DeSantis.
Under the proposal, the facility would be housed behind Gonzales Utilities on Old Kempstrand Road at the site of the former Escambia Charter School. In addition to building a training building for live fires, the plan also includes renovating the existing building to house classrooms and a kitchen. The building hasn't been used since the end of the 2018 school year when the Escambia Charter School closed. The $117 billion state budget is due to be reviewed this week by the governor.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford. Well, Santa Rosa County deputies got called to a road rage incident in Milton last week. Reportedly happened on Highway 90. A woman pulled up next to a man with his kids in the car, pointed a pistol at him,
and made some kind of statement to the effect of, you know, don't mess with me. Those were not her exact words. The complainant was able to describe not only the suspect, but the firearm. There was some coloration to the firearm that made it maybe slightly unique.
Santa Rosa County Chief Deputy Shane Tucker there, and he tells News Radio that the unique color led to deputies being able to identify the woman when they caught up with her shortly after. She now faces aggravated battery charges. And Tucker says with that new constitutional carry law taking effect in July, it is important for people to know that guns are for self-defense and not for traffic disputes. Well, one of the three funeral home directors that wrote letters to Escambia County recently with allegations against the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office says he wants some answers. Rick Haley from the Waters and Hibbert Funeral Home says he was invited to a meeting with Escambia County Commissioner Stephen Berry. and other funeral home directors when he was asked to write that letter.
Yeah, I was quite shocked when the blog came out, and especially when he gave his professional opinion, which I don't think he's really aware of my job or Dr. Lexi's job.
Haley, of course, referring to a blog post on County Commissioner Jeff Bergasha's blog, which cited allegations of butchered and mutilated corpses, delays in issuing cremation approvals, and a difficult to work with staff at the medical examiner's office. He questioned the motivations that the commissioners had in requesting, then releasing that information to the public. Haley says he was under the impression the county would simply be helping him open a line of communication with the medical examiner's office. It is 6:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Good news is we're not showing any slowdowns right now. Well, exits off I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. Davis Highway not showing any problems. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
It's going to be another warm and humid day today. We will have an isolated chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Rain chance will slowly come to an end as we go into the evening hours. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm in the 70s. As you go into your Wednesday, we will have a very similar forecast. Showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon, very warm and humid with highs in the low to mid 80s. Overnight on Wednesday, we will have temperatures drop back in the low 70s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Cloudy and 72 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Your next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
With your money now, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's been calling CEOs and business leaders to discuss the consequences of brinksmanship around the debt ceiling. The calls come on the heels of Yellen's message to Congress that the U.S. could default on its obligations as soon as June 1st. If lawmakers don't address the debt limit before then, an accelerated timeline that increased pressure on President Biden and House Republican lawmakers to ramp up their talks. Goldman Sachs has agreed to pay $215 million to settle a class action lawsuit with a large group of former and current female employees, ending a long-running case that alleged the Wall Street Bank discriminated against women. For the next 3 years, the U.S. bank will have an independent expert analyze how it evaluates its employees' performance and how it elevates staffers from junior to senior positions. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a lower open after stocks closed mixed yesterday. That's your money now.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund. So there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses. So don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's Refunds with an S, Pro.com.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more tomorrow at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Lord, I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living and doing the best I can.
Good morning, 6:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a very, very brief Land Development Code public input session and a Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. And by very short, I mean it was only 9 hours. so it was a little bit of a thing. Joining us now, as we always do the day after, we have Devan Cook. He is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Devan, glad that you're able to be awake and alert after all that yesterday. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit first about the county commission meeting. I know, you know, that went pretty smoothly, pretty quick, and, you know, you'll have the real meeting on Thursday when you vote. The one thing that caught my attention out of that meeting was this proposal by Commissioner Wright to purchase some land over by the Tiger Point Golf Course. What's the story here?
There's just under 11 acres, 10.87, I believe, acres of property that has become available that he would like for us to consider purchasing to develop a passive park or maybe do some other things with there. And so that he just asked the board to give that some consideration and to look at the property and see if there might be an interest from the other board members to move forward with it.
And what would this is kind of on the back of the it's the unused 18 that was damaged, right? That's kind of where this is, south and west of the Walmart. Is that right?
It's back in the very back of Tiger Point.
Okay.
Part of the old golf course that's no longer being used.
Right. Okay. And just to convert that into what, publicly usable area is kind of the idea.
Right. Right. And again, it's in the early stages of discussion about what it might be, but it'd be, you know, a nice area for a passive park and, you know, some other things that could be developed back there. But there's just so little property down on that end of the county for parks and development like that comes available. So that was the discussion.
All right. Also, the Land Development Code, that was the long part of the meeting, was all of the Land Development Code, all 432,000 pages of it or whatever. I know one of the issues we've been tracking is this question of the distance allowable between a bar or a brewery and a school or a church. And I know Commissioner Wright wants to basically make it so as long as you're not directly on the next property over that it would be allowable. I think right now it's 2,500 feet, which means it's nearly a mile of diameter around an area. Where did do you see consensus forming on this, or kind of where is this conversation headed?
There was a lot of discussion. And of course he's primarily interested in the Highway 98 corridor. That, you know, it may or may not affect any other parts of the county, but there was a good discussion between the board members, good input from the public. And so there hasn't been any consensus. There were several other options floated, making it 1,000 feet, making it less from a church, but keeping it 2,500 from schools. So, you know, there's still a lot of discussion and work that has to go into that one, but it was a good discussion on both sides.
And you know, whether there might be an ordinance with variances, like, I mean, you know, it's kind of, I guess we'll see how that develops. You also have, you know, and I know there's always two sides on this, right? There's the public side, and then there's the developer side, and they're always kind of fighting with each other because, you know, the developers, you know, they it's not that they want zero rules, but they want zero rules, and what the public wants is all the rules, right? And so how do you find between them the agreement? But one of the things is it's like paving requirements on new subdivisions, and this I assume has to do with because eventually a lot of these private roads wind up becoming county roads at a certain point in the future. Is that right?
Yes, quite often when these subdivisions are developed, we once the development is finished, then they're taken over as county roads. And so our engineering department has put together some new specifications for the base and for the asphalt thickness. And so we're working on that, because once it's ours, we want to be sure it's easily maintained, easily resurfaced when necessary. So they've been working with our engineering department's been working with our planning department to put some language in there to help just be sure we get a real good product once the subdivision's finished.
Good. That makes sense to me, especially as somebody who suffers driving every day on a private road. I can tell you private roads should be illegal. Just, you know, unless it's like the road to your house and you're going to take care of it. Otherwise, they are a terrible nightmare for everybody involved eventually. The Whittle Building is no more, right?
Correct. It has been taken down. There's still quite a bit of cleanup that the contractor has to do, but the building has been taken down.
I guess that means we're not going to be renting that out.
We're not.
I know that's for some people. That's, but no, you know, this was coming. And then all of a sudden yesterday we see, oh, well, okay, so that's been solved. And we still don't know exactly what's going to happen on that property, if anything, moving forward, other than it's going to stay in the county's hands, right?
Well, and our plan is to clean it up. There was a lot of old debris back behind it. We're going to clean that up and, you know, just grass it, make it nice, and then we'll see what develops in the future. But the main thing is just try to help that area look better. So that's our plan right now.
And then the last thing, I give you your sigh of relief moment. How satisfying / thank God that's all done was it to get the Pea Ridge Connector in, ribbon cut, people driving on it, wipe your hands of it?
Well, it was wonderful to get that open. There's been so much interest in that road and so many people that are excited about using it. So we had a great ceremony for the ribbon cutting and well attended, and it's been a long time. It started long before I got here in this position, but there's been a lot of work and effort put into it, and so we're just glad it's open and the public can use it.
No, agreed. And it is it seems like a fantastic public solution to several different problems that were created by the fact that it did not exist yet. And now that it does, I'm looking forward to that area and the school and all the other things that go on there or will go on there in the future. Devan Cook, he's the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Devan, as always, thank you so much for the time, sir. Thanks for serving our community. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Have a good day.
You bet. 647 News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for you.
And not showing any slowdowns right now, which is good news. Certainly watch for your usual areas of congestion. The school stops. The schools. Certainly. Wind Haven. 98 clear right now. Not showing any problems there. And certainly if you have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're thinking about getting that next vehicle? Let me recommend Frontier Motors. Dave Ramsey recommends them. I recommend them. And not just because it's a good place to buy good quality used cars. I mean, that's true. But because their philosophy of what kind of cars they sell really aligns with the kind of things that Dave Ramsey teaches and that I believe in practice, which is, you know, buy a car that's a year or two old. Don't buy the brand new car, because then you can save on the depreciation. And it's basically the same car you would have had in a year anyway, only you didn't have to pay the extra for it, right? That's kind of the idea. And then drive it until the wheels fall off. Or drive it until, you know, you want to upgrade to something else. You know, and I drove a Honda Accord to 330,000 miles and sold it running to my mechanic, who then gave it to somebody in need. My current car, I think I have about 190 on it for my Civic, and we had the Odyssey that we bought from Frontier replaced a Grand Caravan that I don't remember how many it was on, but maybe 170, something like that. We drove for 15 years. That's just how we do cars. And Frontier is the perfect place to do that, because they specialize in cars that are 1 or 2 or 3 years old and low miles and great condition and good prices. That's the idea. Now, if you want to, you know, buy a car from them and see them again in 15 years, which is my way, fine. If you want to buy a car from them and see them again in two or three years, I mean, that's fine too. You know, they're not going to object. But if you want good quality vehicles, Frontier Motors has them right behind that big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
National average for a gallon of gas, 3.52. The Florida average is 3.54. So we're almost not above average. Mississippi, meanwhile, has dipped below $3 for the first time in forever, 2.99. California is 4.81. Sorry. My computer is once again not cooperating. 3.13 east in Navarre at the Walmart, 3.09 west at the other Walmart in Navarre, 3.07 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge in Tiger Point at the Murphy, at 3.19 in proper at the Exxon in Milton, 3.02. at the CEFCO in Milton, 302 at the Murphy P Ridge, and then 319 at the Circle K going through Pace. In Pensacola, looks like 289 at the Walmart Neighborhood Market on 9 Mile. Same at the P Ridge, or sorry, at the P Ridge, at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29, and then coming in from the southwest side, 306 at the Navy Murphy. 651 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in our newsroom with the headlines. David?
Jury deliberations expected to begin today in the New York civil rape trial involving former President Trump. Closing arguments wrapped up yesterday. Writer E. Jean Carroll alleging Trump raped her in a Manhattan department store in the 90s, then defamed her years later, Trump denying wrongdoing. The Texas legislature now moving forward on gun legislation, a bill there that would raise the age from 18 to 21 to buy a rifle, passed out of committee on Monday. The vote was 8-5 with two Republicans even voting in favor.
Where was this?
Texas, of all places.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's unbelievable almost, isn't it? And I know this is what you've been waiting for, Andrew. President Biden now commenting on the Hollywood writers' strike. Because if anybody's opinion on that matters.
Yeah.
During a White House screening of the television show American Born Chinese yesterday, I'm not really sure what that even is, Biden emphasized the power of stories and the importance of treating storytellers with dignity, respect, and the value they deserve. I'm not really sure what that means.
Okay.
But that's what the story says.
I like it. All right. David, thanks so much.
I seize it, I seize it.
If anybody could solve this, you know, and navigate the troubled waters of the writer's strike, it's certainly our president.
Absolutely.
David, thanks
so
much.
I'm sure he got his comments from ChatGPT.
There you go. Wow. Yeah. Nice. All right. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. In case you haven't been following it, or in case you just didn't listen at the appropriate time, yesterday we had an interview with Deanna Oleski, the medical examiner, and Rick Bailey, the Waters and Hibbert funeral director and owner. And he was one of the guys who wrote the letters, one of the three letters that complained about her office. And it all turns out that basically he had not intended any of this to go the way it all turned out. He had just meant to open communication lines and try to get some of the sort of, you know, issues resolved. He was the mild end of the spectrum. The other two funeral home directors wrote things that were, you know, really, really out of control, the allegations. And so I asked them yesterday about it, and Deanna Oleski says there's been no evidence provided to her of any of these violations. The communications issues and procedural stuff, she's addressed that, and she met with the funeral home directors. Her staff met with them, and they've kind of solved all of this. So then the question is, well, how did this all come to pass? And the answer is that Stephen Berry, commissioner from District 5, according to Rick Bailey, Stephen Berry, they had a meeting that he was invited to at Smokey's, which is his family's, you know, restaurant, with these three other funeral home directors. So there were four altogether. And at that meeting, and what happened at the meeting?
Everybody discussed their issues, and the county commissioner was asking questions and details. And then at the end of the meeting, he requested that we write a letter to the county commissioners. And that's where the letters came about.
So the letters came from Stephen Berry and at least one of the other funeral home directors, the way I understand it, asking them to write the letters. But to write them to the Escambia County Commission, not to the Medical Examiner's Commission, the one that oversees all the medical, which would be the appropriate authority. Why would they go to the county commission? That doesn't make any sense. Well, at some subsequent point, and he, by the way, he was very surprised how all of this turned out. Do you wish you'd have written this letter?
No, not the way it's been handled. Absolutely not.
What? So what was the handling of it that bothered you?
Well, first of all, this was an effort to address the situation with the medical examiner's office. But apparently by writing these letters to the county commissioner and the blog that was put out.
That was Jeff Bergosh's.
That was not the intentions. That didn't accomplish anything at all for me or Dr. Alexi.
So he had wanted it to start a conversation, and it wound up becoming this out of control, you know, political thing that he was not expecting. And so I'll say, when I look at this and I see that, you know, Commissioner Berry, in the midst of conversations that have been very contentious about the location of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, whether in Santa Rosa or whether two facilities, and in the context of back in September, Deanna Oleski and some of her employees showed up at the county commission meeting to basically say, hey, you guys need to solve this and figure out what you're doing with this building, and you're kind of screwing up, the kind of thing that Stephen Berry does not enjoy being told, and certainly not in public. And now this, what looks like to me anyway, a coordinated effort to attack a public official, and at least if the allegations are fabricated or exaggerated, that starts to look like defamation to me. And he does this with them in this, you know, Smokies filled room, right? And then they send the letters to them, and then they want to the commission, or at least to his office, and they wind up in Jeff Bergosh's hands, who then publishes them on his blog, sort of like excerpts, along with a lot of caveats. I mean, I have questions. Let me go to Candy with traffic on the fives. We'll come back to some of these questions. Candy?
Not showing any slowdowns. 98 is accident-free. 29 accident-free from Molina all the way down to the split at Pace Palafox. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's brought to you by Avalon HR. With everything going on, you need Avalon. It's employing made easy.
Yeah, thanks so much, Candy. So, you know, I want to know things like that fourth funeral home director. Why didn't that person write a letter? And I don't know the answer to that. I would like to know whether Jeff Bergosh knew that this all came out of a meeting that Stephen Berry coordinated. That's not necessarily a sunshine violation, by the way, unless it, because it would have to come, it would have to be about a voting issue that was going to come before the board. I mean, it could be collusion without being a sunshine violation. Okay. And I don't know whether he knew or not. I will say that the way he published his blog was very unusual for him, because he normally publishes direct documents. He did not, because he said he was concerned about the validity of some of the claims. But of course, he publishes the account of some of the claims, virtually inviting news agencies to go request the original documents, which we all did, okay, and then publicize those. And he writes a lot of disclaimers, and I don't believe this, and I'm not too sure. It was very much a CYA kind of blog post, which is unusual for Commissioner Bergosh. So I don't know if, you know, he and Barry did this together. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he figured that this could lead to a defamation claim and he didn't want to be involved in that. That's why he wrote the blog. I don't know. I'm just supposing. Now, it could also be, you know, maybe Stephen Berry just like heard from some funeral home directors that things were not good and he wanted to try to solve the problem and he thought he'd get them together and find out. But if that were the case, why wouldn't you create the communication and call the medical director and say, hey, this is some concerns we've got. Can we figure this out? which he didn't do? Or why didn't they go to the appropriate oversight board instead of going to him and then getting released through this ball? You know what I mean? Like, the sort of innocent explanations don't seem to fit with all of the facts of the case. So I still have a lot of questions about this, including whether there's any, you know, ethical breach in all of this. I mean, it looks shady as hell. That doesn't make it illegal, doesn't make it an ethics violation, but I definitely still have questions.